and thanks for tuning in to this series of podcasts from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Through each episode, we are exploring how we are being refined as a people and a church through our current experiences. And as ever, make sure you subscribe to receive future episodes. Now, today I'm joined by two of my friends and colleagues to explore the whole area of youth and children's ministry. So, hello to Ruth Bromley.
Hi.
And Graham Thompson too.
Hello, Rick.
It's great to have you both with us. Now we did explore this area in an earlier episode of the podcast way back at the start of summer, which I know for all of us maybe seems a long time ago. And that episode was with three youth and children's workers within congregations. But today we want to take a little bit of a wider picture view as Ruth and Graham both share what they're seeing and hearing through their roles across the denomination. So folks, you're really welcome. Why don't we just begin maybe by introducing yourself to the listeners and telling them a little bit about what your role maybe looks like at the minute. Ruth, we'll start with you.
Okay, so I'm the Children's Development Officer for the Presbyterian Church, and my job is to help congregations think about their children's ministry, so not to 11-year-olds. At the minute, my job looks a little bit different maybe to it did 6 or 7 months ago. I'm spending time doing Teams calls with both people in full-time ministry and some volunteers, answering a lot of emails, looking after the Children's Ministry Facebook page, and also thinking about some resources that will help our congregations as they do children's ministry at the minute, either maybe on reduced face-to-face time or maybe online completely, and just helping them to resource leaders in how to do that.
And Ruth, you've been doing this role for a while, haven't you? Tell us how long you've been doing it and even just a little bit of what you did before that as well.
Okay, so I've been doing this job for 12 and a half years. And before the situation we're in now, I would have done quite a lot of training in churches, run some events for all ages of children, and produced resources and different things like that. But it would have been a lot of face-to-face and in congregations doing ministry and helping leaders.
Brilliant. Okay, Graham, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and your role too?
Yeah, I wish I hadn't asked that question, because I've just realised, Rick, that in a couple of weeks I'll be starting my 24th year in this job. But it's still my privilege to do that and to serve churches working with their young people across the denomination. And again, like Ruth, we're just sort of getting back into things, and we're less proactive, and we've done a lot of listening to people, trying to hear what people's experiences are and have been, what people have been learning through these past months, and gathering resources, information, and using all that to try and assess what is the best way to support people working with young people in our congregations at this time.
So, Graham, you talk about doing a bit of listening. Maybe how have you been doing that listening? And also then, as you've done that, what have you been hearing?
Yeah, like Ruth, talking to youth workers in video calls, phone calls, and also been really good to speak to some volunteer youth fellowship leaders, that kind of thing. And one of the key things from talking to those folks is the huge variety. No two congregations I've had contact with, and that's out of dozens, have been doing exactly the same things or are doing exactly the same things. And I think that's inevitable. People are trying to find what is right for them at this time. And folks are obviously struggling right across the board, even those who are feeling, you know, that they're starting to get somewhere or have had some real encouragements. Everybody's saying it's difficult. It has been difficult. And maybe in a period that we're in at the moment and other times when it's been uncertain, that makes it even harder in many ways. But one of the most encouraging things I think I'm hearing people say is that it's made them go back to their core principles. People are reassessing. They're trying to work out, what is it that really matters about what we do? And when all the peripheral stuff is removed and some of the programs that aren't possible aren't there, let's get down to what we're really all about here. And that's about relationships, and it's about pointing people to Jesus, and it's about walking alongside young people as they seek him. And a lot of folks are saying, you know, is it ever going to be the same again? And maybe it isn't. And some are saying, well, maybe that's good. Maybe there's an opportunity. Although things are very hard now, maybe a change for good is for good. But right now, for a lot of folks, it's a struggle to see that, but in faith they're saying that God is still at work.
Ruth, you've been having similar conversations, I think, with children's workers, family workers too, maybe volunteers as well. What have you been hearing in those conversations?
Yes, there's an amazing amount of tiredness out there in leaders with what they've been doing, because this was sprung on us. It was very steep learning curve and a bit of tiredness, a bit of frustration because of online stuff, and they don't know how much children are actually interacting with what they're doing. But also an amazing sense of creativity and excitement, and just knowing that even though things aren't ideal at the minute, that people are still being able to share who Jesus is and see children's faith growing. And we can't do it in the traditional way that maybe we do Sunday school or children's church, but leaders, volunteers, children's workers have just used an incredible amount of creativity to still reach children and families and encourage them and disciple them in what they do. And I'm hearing a lot of that. People have been telling a lot of really good stories just of how they're still seeing children grow in their faith. And I think being able to help families grow together in faith, because the leaders haven't been the ones who've been there to see parents and other members of the family walking with children as they're growing in their faith, has been incredible. Because that's something that we talk about quite a lot, is how important families are in faith development of children. And this situation has really forced families to do that maybe more than they have been doing before, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, so have you any idea in terms of how many people you've engaged with over the past couple of months in some of these conversations?
Yeah, I guess probably a couple of dozen paid youth workers. They've been a wee bit easier to be able to contact, and maybe about 10 or so volunteers, which doesn't seem like a huge number, but they've been from a real variety of congregations, different parts of Ireland, and different sizes and so on. And although I said earlier there's been a variety of what people are doing and how they're responding to this situation, I think the questions they're asking and the challenges and the barriers that they have are all the same. And regardless of size or location or resources, we're all in the same boat here. We're trying to find ways to do what God has called us to do in a way that works according to our own particular situation.
That's important as we have this conversation, because you both do carry a big picture view of what you're seeing across the range of our denomination. So I guess you've talked a little bit about what you've heard. I'm keen to hear maybe some of your reflections on these. So we'll do this negatively and then we'll do it positively. Okay. So Graham, what are some of the challenges that you've come across and your reflections on those? And then we'll maybe hear some of the best examples that you have.
Yeah, I think folks are really struggling practically, because there's questions that we've never had to answer before, and the situations that, you know, how do we do that? And we want to do stuff, particularly since people started coming back in person. It was working out some of the how do we do this safely? How do we keep things clean? How do we keep young people socially distanced? You know, particularly 11 and 12 year olds who just, you know, don't do that kind of thing naturally. And I think that's a challenge. Tech stuff has also been a huge challenge. Some people are very kind of au fait with that and very comfortable, but others are just like, they know that they ought to be doing this. But even where people have been quite successful in it, there's a real struggle, because people are getting Zoom fatigue. They're getting fed up being in front of a camera, and some young people just simply don't like being in a video kind of setting. They're just more reserved and they don't like it. And some youth workers have really struggled with that, and they've had to find other ways to make sure they include those young people. And these are often the young people that would never miss a physical meeting, even if they're not that vocal. And that's been really hard. And folks are saying, okay, maybe we're having to go back to doing more video stuff, and how do we find new ways to do that? So I think that's hard, mobilizing young people, mobilizing leaders, and doing all that. I think what you said earlier, Ruth, about weariness, and I think as we go into the winter, one of the concerns I'm picking up, and I certainly have myself, is just people's mental health and keeping people resilient and well. And that's the leaders as well as the young people. And I think we need to focus on people's well-being in all of this and care for one another and not just kind of dash on through, let's do the next thing, but just make sure we look after one another and look after our young people on this, because it is really hard work and it's taken its toll, because life is taking its toll on people in lots of ways. So we need to just be very careful about that, I think.
And when it comes to children, Ruth, is that similar, or are there other things that you're reflecting on in terms of challenges?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff is very similar. Obviously, having children on a Zoom call is not easy, particularly if they're younger, or needing parental involvement to be able to do that as well has been an issue that has come up time and again in the conversations we're having. A lot of other issues that I've heard about have been to do with leaders, you know, who maybe have been working at home, maybe they were doing homeschooling, and then children's ministry is another burden on top of that when everyone's adjusting to a new way of doing things. And not everybody likes to be on camera. I spoke to one leader who said that they had people who dropped out in the middle of the week who were supposed to do some of the children's ministry because being on camera was just not something that they wanted to do. And that's been really hard. Some of the other challenges are things like when children are coming back to church, only some are coming back. A lot have chosen to not return yet. And then just the practicalities of how do you set up a room and register kids who are coming to make sure you've got enough space and leaders and, you know, those practical things that didn't have to be thought about before. It's just tough for people.
That thing about leaders, Ruth, are you hearing that people are finding it hard to get people to commit for maybe very good reasons at the minute, getting people to step up and be part of something that looks very new? Is that a challenge, do you think?
Yeah, I think it is. There are people who are finding it hard to do that, or else people who've maybe done children's ministry for quite a long time are seeing this as a time to step down because things are different. And then other leaders need more people then to fill those gaps. And that's hard in the middle of everything else that's going on at the minute.
You were quite positive earlier about the whole family discipleship idea, but also do you have a slight concern that children or young people could be forgotten about here at this time?
I think it certainly adds to that sense that things will never quite be the same again, and people naturally will kind of throw their hands up in horror, and there's a real sense of fear and foreboding about that, you know, that people are dropping out, things are different, and you know. And I think what we do need to do is first of all keep seeking after God and see what he's doing, but look positively at that and try and encourage folks to have a vision. So if little things are going well, to share that and to see if folks are encouraged to want to be part of that and say, yes, it may look different and it may not quite be the same again, but God is still at work in this. And it's so easy for us to start looking at it humanly and panic a bit. But when we ask God to see things through his eyes, then we maybe see opportunities that are there. And I'm not saying that's easy, but I think we absolutely have to, because if we do look at it from a human perspective, we just see the challenges and the problems, and we don't look to see what God is still doing in the midst of that.
One of the volunteers said to me in a conversation last week that small is good, and maybe small is all we need at the minute. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something about the intentionality of walking with, even if it's just a small group of kids or young people, and families, and building into them and continuing to disciple them. And, you know, if that means doing things differently across the board, you know, taking a blank sheet of paper and thinking, well, actually, instead of let's get back to all the things that we did before, think actually what do our families and our children, our young people need right now in this situation, and what can we build from the ground that maybe is a combination of leaders from organisations. Could be a really positive move at the minute. But I love that idea of small is good, and maybe small is all we need right at this minute.
I think that's dead on, exactly right. And folks have been saying we're doing less, but we're able to do it in more depth. We're able to focus more on small groups of people in the way that you've said. In fact, a number of folks have started small groups or have developed small groups in a way that we're still able to do that, or focus on individuals and are able to disciple in more depth than maybe they were able to when programs were bigger and there was more stuff going on.
Okay, so embracing the small, pushing for depth, maybe working collaboratively across organisations or congregations. So you have begun to push us more positively. I mean, let me ask, as you've heard and listened to a wide variety of churches, what are some of the examples of best practice that you've heard, Ruth, in a children's sense? What best practice have you been coming across?
Well, I've heard some really interesting and creative ideas of how to continue to reach children. Obviously there's been quite a lot of, you know, YouTube videos made to connect with children at home and with families, and maybe kids clubs or holiday Bible clubs online. I heard a couple of weeks ago about some GB groups. Obviously Girls Brigade aren't meeting at the minute in person, but some of them are doing Zoom conversations each week with the girls in their group. I know of a church that they have their main church service in the church, but their hall is set up with tables and activities, and the service is live streamed in there for families to sit together and do activities together based on what is being taught. I've heard of one church that is once a month is choosing to make their Sunday morning service solely for families, or at least prioritising families coming in. So when the people are booking to come to church on Sunday, they prioritise families coming so that they're encouraged to come back. It doesn't stop other people coming to the service, but they're aiming it at children and families. And then one leader was telling me that each week she takes what they're calling worship bags to church, and they drop them into the church on the Tuesday or Wednesday, and they have activities in them, some general ones and some specific to whatever the teaching's going to be on Sunday. And they're put in there on Tuesday or Wednesday. So when the kids come in on Sunday, they pick up a bag, take it to their pew, and they can do the activities that are based on what the minister's speaking on. And they leave their bag back at the end of the day. Or the end of the service, and they're refilled for the next week. And they have all sorts of things in there. One of the things they'd had one week was clay, and they got the kids to make something as the service was going on. So just really creative ideas of how to still walk with children and encourage them in their faith, which has been brilliant.
Okay, thanks. A whole range of ideas there for those of us listening. Graham, what about in the youth side of things?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I think when you hear creative ideas like that, it can be really inspiring. And listening to one another is good in this. One thing that is really clear is people are having to be flexible. If you've, you know, a rigid program at the moment, and we get another announcement about the change in regulations, and then it's completely scuppered, then that's very frustrating. So folks are certainly trying to plan in a way that can either be done in person or online. And I think that's important. I think there is a sense, though, that there may be a fair bit of online stuff. And that's, I think folks are finding that hard because they're thinking back, well, it was okay before the summer. So how do we do all this again? And I think what's good is that there are other ideas coming out that maybe give a bit more energy to people. And if you look out there, there are resources. A lot of people have used a thing called Jackbox TV, which has a lot of fun, energetic games that when you're kind of thinking, how do we get young people to engage in stuff? Some people have created a way that you gather some material so that, again, a bit like the children there that you were talking about, Ruth, but they have games that you need certain things and they provide those in advance. Something that I heard just a couple of days ago that sounds really good is the idea of doing escape rooms, but you do them all on Zoom. And there's a great website, churchyouthministry.com, that has a huge number of free ideas, including, I think, three of these escape rooms. And they look really fantastic. And I think that's the kind of thing people are saying, we need something fresh. If our young people are going to come back on and do this stuff online, we need something new. And I think, praise the Lord, there are people out there who are a brilliant creativity. The other thing I think that folks are doing is just finding ways to keep in contact with young people, whatever it is, whether it's a daily text message, whether it's folks are maybe doing a very short video message and saying even those that don't come in front of a camera will watch stuff and we'll do those once or twice a week, whether it's using social media. Somebody mentioned to me the other day about a thing called Restream. Well, young people do use lots of different types of social media, so you want to get a message out to them. This can encompass all of that. So people who are very clever and understand technology and social media are finding ways to let's keep in contact with young people and make sure they all still know that they matter to us and we don't let any of them fall through the cracks during these days.
Now, a lot of what you've been talking about, you're coming across in your day job. But as well as that, you each serve in the youth and children's ministry of your own congregation. I'd love to hear a little bit about maybe some of your involvement there and what you've been doing recently in your own context. So Ruth, tell us about what that's looked like for you.
Okay, so before we had Sunday school and children's church, and then in church, we didn't have a children's address. We would have done what we call the birthday bucket, where we just celebrate children's birthdays and pray for them. And during lockdown, obviously, our service went online and I had the job for the first few weeks of doing the birthday bucket for the children. And I just had this real desire to say more than just the birthday bucket. So the first Sunday I did a little thought, a children's address, if you like, on camera and sent it in. And I did that for a couple of weeks and didn't really think about it. I don't mean I prepared for it, obviously, but didn't really think of the impact of that. And then we put together a little team of people who did those and they carried on because we didn't have any other children's ministry at the time. And so that was their bit of the service every week. And those actually, now that our services are back in church, those have continued. And it's been great to be able to do some things just to connect with the kids a little bit. It's just been a fun way to be able to feed into our kids' lives in church and to do that. And because we normally in church, when we do the birthday bucket, we give the children a little gift and we haven't been able to do that for months. So one of the first Sundays that we were back in church as well, there were party bags for all the children who came and they just had a little gift and some Bible reading notes in them for the kids to take home. We'd said all along, if it's your birthday, don't forget when you're back in church to go and get a gift out of the birthday bucket. But it was lovely to be able to provide devotional material and gifts for the children to take home at the end of that. And I suppose one of the big things is thinking about how in our church we do some more face-to-face children's ministry. And I'm in conversation with one of our elders and a few other people just about how we start to do that again. And we are not at the minute going back to having Sunday school and children's church. We're going to start something new where all the leaders can hopefully work together to lead that. And see how we can feed back into the kids' lives face to face and hopefully support what has been going on over lockdown with families. And I'm really excited about being part of that and being able to do it as a volunteer and just to see our children's faces again and be able to have conversations with them and spend time with them because that's something I've really missed over the last few months. It's been great doing the wee videos and being able to speak to them through that, but just to be able to actually see their faces and see them reacting and telling us things as well. I can't wait to hear their stories of how they are and what they've been doing. So that's what we're looking forward to.
I think the phrase that's been coming to the fore is a blended approach, isn't it, to youth and children's ministry? So, you know, beyond the current restrictions, how we can continue to move into both a physical and a digital space with children and young people, which, as you say, Ruth, is just going to be so important as well. Graham, what about you and your own congregation and some of the youth work you've been engaged with there?
I think the idea of coming together really resonates with me that you were talking about, Ruth. It's been really good for me as an elder with responsibility for youth work in my congregation to have been involved in some of the stuff we did before the summer, but also to have been able to kind of lead the conversation about where we go. And I guess one of the key things was that we realized nothing is going to start back up again we don't know how long again. So the leaders of the different organizations actually came together and said, right, what is it we're trying to do? What are our aims? What is it we try to achieve when the organizations were running? And then, well, how can we do that now within the restrictions and the different circumstances that we find ourselves? So that actually has been incredibly exciting, because we've been able to do some things that have sort of been on the back burner and actually start some new things, most critically small groups. So nearly all of our young people are now in a small group, and most of those started up meeting physically and then recently have moved back online. I hope they'll meet physically again, but they can work in both those formats. And that's really good for me to hear leaders talk about how those young people are engaging in those small groups, and they're part of something there. And that really, really is exciting. We've also started doing a monthly thing that we've called Together, which we do in the church. And it's a bit of input and then small group discussion. But again, it's the leaders of those organizations working together in that. The first of those was in person. We're probably going to have to do the next one a little bit creatively online, but again, that's okay, because again, there's a sense of something bigger. We'd hope to do some social things. Those have proved more difficult, but you know what, that's okay. We'll find a way to do that, and there are different ways of doing things, but it's been lovely to do new things that people are excited about, and just to see where God is working. So we're quite upbeat about that in a sense.
Thanks for what you've each shared with us today. Is there anything either of you would want to point people to in terms of a helpful resource at this time, or any upcoming, I don't know, events or initiatives or training that they might be able to access?
There's a resource coming out next month that is linked to the moderator's appeal, and there's going to be some stuff in that for children that could be used either as part of a Christmas service or in children's ministry. So you could watch out for that coming up over the next few weeks.
We're also going to try and let you know about things as they come out, and we encourage you to look at our Facebook pages. But Ruth and I are also hoping to do a webinar next month, where we'll have a little bit of input and discussions, I suppose, on the back of the sorts of things we've talked about here, but that will allow people to actually come and join us and maybe interact a wee bit with that. So that's a wee bit exciting, something new for us to be involved in there.
Brilliant. And we'll include the link to that webinar in the show notes as well, so people can access that. Just to finish, I want to ask each of you to share a verse or a passage of scripture that's particularly spoken to you. Graham, we'll start with you on that.
The verse that kind of sprung to mind on this that has spoken to me in lots of different circumstances, actually, Rick, is from the last chapter of Job. After all the stuff that Job was through and the trials and the conversations and the way God challenged him, at the end, Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." And that has brought real encouragement and comfort to me in lots of personal and church circumstances to kind of keep my mind focused on the fact that God is sovereign over COVID pandemics, over any circumstances that we find ourselves in. But when I think about that, no purpose of yours can be thwarted, it makes me think, well, what is the purpose of God for our young people, for our youth ministry? And something recently that I listened to reminded me that it's about helping people to seek God. And I guess that whatever we do at the minute, if we're encouraging our young people to seek after Jesus Christ, then, you know, whatever we do, even if it feels very small or it feels that it's not much, then it's huge if it encourages them to seek after God.
Ruth?
I have two. The first one is from Isaiah 43, verse 2. And it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, for I am the Lord your God." And I heard this a few times over the last 6 months, and sometimes it feels like we've come through the waters and the fire, and it's been hard. But we have that reassurance because God said, "I am your God and I'm with you." But I suppose as I've been thinking about that verse quite a lot, but just in the last few weeks, I kind of feel like it's time to look forward. And there's another verse that keeps coming back into my head again and again, and it's from Joshua 1, and it says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I suppose both personally in our family and thinking about ministry, this verse has come back to us again and again. Do you know that Joshua was about to go into somewhere new, but he knew that God was with him, and God said, "Just be strong and courageous." And I think that's what we need to be as we think over these next few months about what's coming up.
Yeah, really helpful. Folks, thanks so much for sharing with us. But more than that, thanks for what you do in your role in resourcing and equipping and encouraging volunteers, youth workers, children's workers across our denomination. We appreciate it. And I encourage folks as you listen to continue to pray for these folks in their roles. So thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
In each of these episodes, we want to finish by including a story or an example from the life and the witness of a congregation in this season. And so to fit today's theme, I caught up with Christine Wilson, who is the volunteer leader of Kingdom Kids, which is the Sunday morning children's ministry in Carmony Presbyterian Church. I started by asking her to tell us how her and her team went about getting this up and running again over the past couple of months.
We did a lot of planning, I would say. Our church leadership had already decided that kids ministry would start back at the same time as adult ministry. So the decision was taken out of our hands, which actually was good. So we just had to start thinking about how we were going to do that practically, what it was going to look like. So we sat down, thought through about what a normal Sunday morning looks like for us, and how do we factor that in with both government recommendations and with our PCI guidelines as well. To start with, we just thought about practically like that, what space in the halls are we going to use, and within that, what leaders do we have, and how many leaders do we need, because it's still quite early on, it was the beginning of August. So we just put it out to our leaders who would be willing to come back and to help out, because we recognize that some might not be comfortable with that. Then we thought about our capacity, how many children could we fit into the hall, and thankfully church, we're using Eventbrite, so we could set our capacity for parents booking in. And just thinking through everything was just kind of logical, thinking about, you know, how are parents going to come into the building, how are we going to do drop off, how are we going to pick up, and how are we going to make sure that children socially distance, because at that point they weren't back to school, so it was all a bit new. So we decided that we would get them to bring rugs that they would sit down on, we could position them 2 metres apart, and then that meant they were dry for them to keep social distancing. And we knew that we had hand sanitizer and things like that to keep with all of the practicalities. So we kind of thought through that, then went to church, to the ones who were organizing the adult service, to make sure that everything fitted together. Said to parents about how things were going to work, and that was done in quite a combined manner. So quite logical and thought through, I would say, and with air going on in the background as to actually work and still manage proper kids ministry, not just ticking all the boxes.
And Christine, if that's been some of the practicalities, could you maybe share with us how you've adapted your programme and the format of a kind of Sunday morning children's ministry?
Yeah, so again, just thinking through what would we have done normally back at the beginning of March, what did a Sunday morning look like? So we've had things like juice and biscuits. We would have had a snack time, not because we necessarily needed it, but because it was a good relationship building time with the kids. So that went. We would have involved a lot of kind of moving around within activities to keep kids' attention and to keep things fresh. So moving around went out the window. We would have done lots of kind of small group work as well, so gathering around into small circles with a leader, and we had to reconsider that. And craft as well. We haven't done craft as we would have done before, because that would involve a lot of sharing scissors, glue, all that sort of stuff, shared resources in general. So we just keep it really simple now. We can still tell the Bible story. We've been using video probably to back that up a little bit more. We can still do worship. We can still do memory verses. We can still pray with them, and we can still chat with them to see how both their just their weeks are going, but also in terms of the content we're using as well. So yeah, everything where they can sit in one place, which I know isn't always ideal, but we have found that it's worked well.
So it sounds much more upfront in many ways, and and delivered from there. So you've been doing this maybe for the past 12 weeks or so. So I'm wondering what have been some of your learnings and reflections as you've engaged in children's ministry in person again over this time?
I would say that it looks different, obviously, to what we did before, but we've recognised that it's very doable. It's possible to keep within the parameters that we have and still provide a kids' ministry. We've learned that we need to be flexible, that changes in government regulations can come out and that changes how we do things. We started without masks, without face masks, and then we brought those in. So being flexible in how you're presenting and just I suppose a reflection that it's good to be back. It's good to be back in the room with the kids, and it's good for them to be back as well. Just like it's good for the adults to be back, it's really good for the kids to be back within Christian community too. There's still things that we're working on. We would have all our kids in together, so we previously would have had different age ranges in sections, whereas now we have primary school kids in together. So that's still a learning, because teaching 7 years of an age range is challenging, but something that we're still working on, I would say.
And what about any highlights or encouragements or stories to share from this time?
Yeah, a couple of things. I think just seeing the community amongst the kids, seeing them excited at the other kids that walk through the door, them sharing what's been good in their weeks. We've started as well opening up prayer to the floor, whereas before I think we would have led a lot from the front in that type of respect. But we started just opening up prayer and allowing them the opportunity to pray out loud if they want to. And that's, if they don't want to, that's fine. But just hearing the kids from P1 upwards, you know, participating and opening in prayer for this session has really, really been encouraging. Yeah, it's been brilliant being back.
I'm just wondering if there's children's ministry leaders listening from churches and they're currently not too sure whether to meet again in person or how to meet again in person. Maybe is there anything you might say to them, or what encouragement might you give them?
I would encourage them to think logically through how they can adapt what they've done before to fit in with what the restrictions are now. Speak to your church leadership. So do it as a group. It's not just you planning it on your own. Just take on board ideas. Speak to other churches, other leaders, see what has worked for them, because what will work for one church won't necessarily work for another.
Well, Christine, thanks so much for sharing with us. It's good for us to hear different practices of what different congregations are doing right now as well. And we really appreciate you taking the time to share with us on the podcast. And to all of our listeners as well, can I encourage you to think about how you could pass on this episode to anyone within your congregation who might be involved in youth and children's ministry, perhaps as an encouragement to them at this time, or to help them as they reflect on what might be possible going forward. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode, this time focusing on how we can all be involved in the task of sharing Jesus with others today. I think this is a really timely theme, and we'll be joined by a special guest from beyond the PCI, as well as some local stories and examples of mission at this time. I'm also delighted to begin sharing some of the hosting duties with my colleague Neil Harrison, who's PCI's Mission Development Officer and who contributed to the last episode. It'll be great to have Neil host the next episode and be a little bit more involved in the podcast in future episodes too. So look out for that. And until next time, thanks for listening.